Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
Church, if you'll open your Bible with me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to continue from last week's message, Eternal Life. I preached last week on what the Bible talks about heaven, or the three heavens, and the third heaven where God dwells, and where every believer in Christ goes to the third heaven, the place where Christ is seated in the place of honor. And today we're going to, mainly it's preach on the New Jerusalem. So if you have your Bible, but I want to read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And amen when you have it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Every time I read anything in the Bible concerning his coming, or when the church will be caught up, or heaven, eternal life, two things remind me all the time that one, to continue and persevere in my walk with Jesus, to live for him, and to get closer to him and get to know him even more and more as I'm walking here on earth in my relationship with the Lord. That's number one. Number two is that there is an emergency to tell people about Jesus Christ. And it does make a difference if they receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, or if they do not. There is a moment where people make choices or a decision to follow him or not follow him. And there is an eternity that the Bible talks about, eternal life or eternal condemnation. And many times I believe life could get so busy. It's so easy to just focus on ourselves, that we forget about that we have a what Jesus taught, to tell people about Jesus, the Great Commission. And I just want to encourage this morning, church, that we get closer to him in a way that we want to share and tell everyone about Jesus every opportunity that we get. The Bible says, verse 13, he says, but I do not want you to be ignorant. One can be ignorant, or if we don't have the knowledge of what the Bible says about his coming or what will be the end, anything that you don't have knowledge about can hurt us. And Paul, he tells the church, he says, I do not want you to be ignorant. And he says, brethren. So obviously he's talking to the church, his brothers in Christ. And he says, concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died already, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So see, the Bible right there just tells us that anybody that doesn't have their hope in Christ, there is sorrow. And it's an awful thing, church. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died, this is very important. Jesus died and rose again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep or who have died in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you, notice what Paul says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, did you get that? Alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend. Now he's going to begin to talk about the rapture or the church being caught up. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. So there's going to be a shout from heaven, the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God when the Lord himself will descend. But then it says, and then and the dead in Christ, it says what? Will rise first. They are going to rise first. Those who have fallen asleep in Christ, when he comes back, they will rise first. Then we, verse 17, who are alive, like we are right now, alive, and remain, shall be caught up together with them. Look what he says. With them in the clouds. In the clouds, there's going to be a reunion to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always, don't you like that word, always be with the Lord. Therefore, he says, comfort one another with these words. Last week, I preached about how the Bible talks about three heavens. And many times we believe that we just die in the Lord and we will be in heaven. But when you read the Bible and you study the Bible, you will find out that the third heaven where God lives, his abode, where Christ is at the right hand of the Father, in the place of honor, the third heaven is, listen well, is our first destination. But it's not our final destination. Hear me well what I'm about to say. The place where God dwells, that will be our first destination. If the Lord will come today and we are caught up, we will be with him in the third heaven where he lives. But it's only the first destination, not the final. But those who have died in Christ, they will rise first. And as we read, we will meet them in the air to meet our Lord. The place where God dwells, the third heaven, is the place, once again, where God lives. Christ is seated at the right hand, the place of honor. That is the place where the Bible also talks about that the angels dwell. Angels dwell in the third heaven. And also believers in Christ dwell in the third heaven. Or in other words, our spirits people who have died in the Lord, their spirits are there at the moment. Amen? At the moment. Now, once again, it is our first destination, but it's not the final. The third heaven is a temporary place at the moment. So let's say if I would die in the Lord today, my spirit goes directly to the Lord, up to the third heaven where God dwells, where the angels of the Lord dwell. But that's just the first destination. In other words, it's the first stop. Now, hear me what I'm saying, because I'm going to try to do my best to explain why is it the first destination? Why is it just a temporary place? So the Bible teaches that the current heaven, right now, the third heaven, will become, according to the Bible, and I'm sure you've read it, when you read your Bible, you study the Bible, the current heaven right now, the third heaven, will become the old heaven. According to the book of Revelations, chapter 21. Are you guys with me? It will one day pass away and it will become the old heaven. Now, you're going to hear me right now preach about the new and the old and what the Bible means about the old and the new and how it will happen. Amen. So many people assume that the heavens is right now the eternal dwelling place for believers, but that is not what the Bible teaches. That's not the final destination. It's not just like we're going to die and be in heaven, be in a cloud. It's just a temporary place. Now, it's very important. Now, that's a different topic. But when we go to heaven, the third heaven, there we, the believers, only believers in Christ, will be at the judgment seat of Christ, what the Bible calls the Bema. Amen? And there, everyone will be judged for what we did and what we did not do here on earth. If you were faithful with what God gave you, because the Bible says that God gave what? He gave gifts to his church. Amen? And the Bible teaches about being good stewards of everything that the Lord gave us. The Bible talks about the crowns, that we will be rewarded what? Crowns. The Bible talks about five crowns. Amen? But that's another message. Amen? So, but what I'm trying to say is that all of us, believers in Christ or who have died in Christ, will be there with the Lord. Okay. How can I say this? After the millennium kingdom, 1,000-year reign, that's going to be for the believers in Christ also, just believers. Some believe it's just believers. Others say that it's going to be believers and unbelievers. And that's what the Bible talks, that at the end, towards the other half of the millennium, there will be people that will rebel against the Lord. That's going to be the final revolt that the devil is going to try to use to try to discourage or come against God's children. But that's another message in itself. But after the millennium, the Bible talks what I just mentioned, that the Satan will have his last rebellion, if we could put it that way. Amen? And after that, the Bible talks about that Satan is going to be what? He's going to be, because the Bible says that Satan is locked up where? For 1,000 years. But at the end of the 1,000 years, he's going to be loose again. And that's going to be his last revolt or his last rebellion. Amen? Where he's going to try to come God's people. But the Bible teaches that after that, Satan will be cast where? He will be cast into the lake of fire. Amen? Lake of fire. Where he's going to live there forever and ever. Then the Bible talks about that there will be when the wicked, but that's what the word, the Bible uses the word wicked, the wicked dead will be judged. Who are the wicked dead? Those are going to be the ones that are going to be judged for their works here on earth. The ones who rejected Jesus Christ as the source of life, those are the wicked. Now think about it. How many people now are rejecting Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior, the Lord of all? People that they don't want nothing with Jesus. They don't want nothing about God. They don't want to hear nothing about Jesus. And you know what's even more crazier? That you got people now that at one time served the Lord, but even now they're not serving God and they don't want nothing to do with the Lord. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord help us, church. That we never get to that point where we just, you know, we reject the Lord for whatever reason, that the enemy came and put all kinds of stuff in our mind or things happen, but to get a hold of the Lord and serve him with everything. It is dangerous and it is scary, church, to ever say that we don't need Jesus Christ. The one who died on the cross for the sins of the world. The one who shed his precious blood on Calvary for the sins of the world. Your sins, my sins. The one who paid it all for you and me. And after that, the wicked, or those who rejected Jesus Christ, after they are judged. Hear me, church. And I'm not here to scare anybody. I'm not here to anything like that, church. I just want to show compassion and love. But after every wicked person or person that rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible is clearly, and that's going to be my next message, church. The Bible says they're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Now, it's funny because people, you know, you hear that and you say, well, I don't believe that. Which you could believe it or not believe it. That's what the Bible says. And did you know that Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven? Did you know that? Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. And on my next message, that's what I'm going to preach about. Because the Bible talks about hell, the words that were used in the New Testament and the Old Testament. You got the word Sheol, that's the Old Testament term for hell. The word Gehenna, that's the word that speaks about the lake of fire. And there's another word too in the New Testament. Hell is real, church. And nobody, did you know, hell wasn't even created for human beings. Hell was created for the devil and his demons. And see, God is a God of opportunities. I mean, think about it. The Bible says in Corinthians that it's the devil that blinds who? He blinds the people to think that they don't need a savior. To say, you know what, this is the life we live, you know, and if I die, I die, and it's over, and that's it. But no, that's not what the Bible says, church. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus is Lord. And after all is that, because think about what I just said, everything. We're talking about the new heavens and the new earth. The reason why that Satan is cast in the lake of fire. The false prophet is in the lake of fire. The Antichrist is in the lake of fire. He gets everyone that rejected Jesus are sent to the lake of fire. What is he doing? He's removing every rebellion, every sin. He's removing everything on earth. In other words, everything that's not pure, everything that's not of God. And then after that, that's when the Bible talks about that Jesus Christ will deliver. He will deliver what? The kingdom to the Father. Well, what does the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:24? Look what he says. I'll read it to you. Then comes the end. When he delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. 1 Corinthians 15:28 says, the New Living Translation. Then when all things are under his authority, look what he says, the Son will put himself under God's authority so that God, who gave his Son authority over all things, will be utterly supreme, there it is, over everything and everywhere. Who hands over the kingdom? Jesus Christ does. He delivers the kingdom to the Father. After everything is done away, everything that stained this world. Remember, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But remember that at one time, the world was what? Perfect. The world was without sin. But one day, sin entered creation, the world. Who tempted? Satan. Who fell for it? Man did. Adam and Eve. And because of that, ever since sin entered, hear me right, the earth has been what? Cursed. The earth has been cursed. But who's the one that took away the curse upon his life? The Lord Jesus Christ. So that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And with all the curse, all the stain of sin, that's the reason why God takes care of Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet, all the wicked, everything is gone. And now Christ delivers the kingdom to the Father. So what does that mean? Well, let's see what the Bible says. Now we're going to see what the Bible talks about the eternal place of the believer. The Bible says that the old heavens and the earth are what? Destroyed. What does that mean? That the old heavens and the earth are destroyed. They say that the old must pass to make room for the new. Hear me what I'm saying, church. That which is stained because of what? Because of sin and decaying must make room for that which will be utterly pure and eternal. In other words, everything is going to be what? Renew. That's why, once again, the Bible says the old heavens and the earth are destroyed. Because why? Once again, because from the beginning, in the book of Genesis, the earth was cursed when Adam and Eve sinned. And ever since, up till right now, the earth has been what? In decay. Romans 8:20, verse 22. And when you read in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, you will find out that everything, the heavens and the earth, will be what? Perish. Why? Because God's going to do something new. New heavens, new earth. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, in Matthew 24:35, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So how is it destroyed, or how is it renewed? Well, many believe, and I'm going to give you the scripture right now, is that after the earth or the universe is what? It's cleansed by fire, because that's what the Bible says. It will be cleansed by fire. How many know that fire, what does fire do? It purifies. It cleanses. It removes everything that's in the way, every stain, everything has to be moved. Why? Because of the fire. Well, what does the Bible says? The Bible says, if you'll go with me, I want you to read this scripture with me. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the New Living Translation. And amen. Say an amen when you have it. Second Peter, chapter 3, verse 7 through 13, the New Living Translation. The earth, the universe will be cleansed by fire, and God creates a new heaven and a new earth. Look what it says. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Remember I talked about that? This would begin when? When Christ delivered the kingdom after what? After when the wicked are judged at the white throne judgment. And everyone who rejected Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior were thrown, the Bible says, into the lake of fire. And it says here, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But then he says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing. Oh, hallelujah. That with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slacking. He's not slacking. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. How many know that when God promises something, God is not like man? God will, what? Fulfill his promise. And he says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness. What does that mean? You hear people all the time, well, they've been saying that the Lord is coming back since I was a little boy. But the Bible says that now, even now, his return is even closer. And he says, but is long suffering towards us. Why? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Church, always remember, God doesn't want anybody to perish. So don't believe the lie, the hype, when they say, well, you know, God doesn't save. No. God chooses to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior or not. God doesn't force anybody. God is a gentleman. God gives you the opportunity and God gives you a chance for you to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. He says that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Then it says, but the day of the Lord will come. There it is. As unexpectedly as who? As a thief. What does a thief do? A thief doesn't give you the agenda when he's going to go steal. He ain't going to tell you, hey, I'm going to go next week Saturday at 9 a.m. You know, I'm going to break in. No, he doesn't tell you. Well, what the word is telling is that the Lord is just saying, just be ready. Be ready for my return. Church, did you hear me? Be ready for his return. And the Bible says, but the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then, look what he says, the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives, look what he says, you should live. He says, live a holy life. Live a godly life. He says, you should live a holy and a godly life. How many know, church, that we can still live godly lives? Holy lives. I know you don't hear preachings no more about living a holy life. You don't hear messages about, you know, living a holy and a godly life. But if that's what the Bible teaches, church, the Lord is telling us to live a holy and a godly life for his glory and honor while we are here on earth. Thank you for those two hand claps. And he says, looking for the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Look what he says, that he has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. And that time, church, is coming soon. So what is the new heaven and the new earth? God has promised, according to the Bible, his word, that he has promised to create what? A new heaven and a new earth. Where everyone, every believer, is right with God. In that place, the new heaven, the new earth, is going to be nothing but believers in Christ Jesus. No one else qualifies. Because God is holy. God is righteous. And after the earth is cleansed by fire, and God creates a new heaven and a new earth, that's going to be the present place. Hear me, church. Where every believer in Christ is going to live. That's what I meant in the beginning when I said that the third heaven is not the final destination. But this new place, this new heaven and new earth, it will purify, it's going to be purified of what? Of all evil, of all sin, of all suffering, of all death. No more of that. And that's the reason why we depend on God. We seek God every day. Whenever we're going through a trial, whenever we're facing a giant, whenever there's a disease, we serve the Almighty God. We serve the healer. That's who we serve. That's why we depend on him. That's the reason why we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why we humble ourselves before him. That regardless how blessed I am, I depend on God. He is my source. He is my everything. And without him, I cannot do anything according to the words of Jesus. He says, without me, you cannot do anything. So we're blessed, church. That's why we're blessed. Even though we live in this world, but we're not from this world as of now. And that's why we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the Bible says that everything else shall be added unto you. That's why when you really surrender and you put God first in your life, you don't worry about anything because God takes care of his children. Why? Because on this earth, church, ever since, like I mentioned in the book of Genesis, when sin entered, sickness came, sorrow came, tears, death, came, suffering. Now the Bible says that you work with the sweat of your brow. But all that in the new heavens and the new earth, all that changes. All that changes, I said, church. No more tears, no more pain, no more suffering, no more sickness, no more death. But we're going to live an everlasting life in the presence of the Almighty God. Forever and ever. This is, church, this is not a weekend at Disneyland. No. This is everlasting new Jerusalem. Streets of gold. Hallelujah. And I wish I could, I was studying, church, I was studying and I said, no, this is going to be too much. What the new heavens will be. The new Jerusalem. How many feet high? How many believe we will travel in seconds to get from one place to another? And I started thinking about that. You know, it is possible because, number one, it's God. It's God's creation. You know, I started thinking about Elon Musk and all these trains that they're making where they want to ride you like from LA to New York to get there in a couple of hours. I mean, if that's all that is possible, how much in the New Jerusalem, the new heavens and the new earth? Travel quickly. The Bible says that all things will be made new. Because everything, according to the Bible, will be renovated. God is the one who's going to renovate the heavens and the earth. Isaiah 65, 17 says, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." Revelations 21 verse 1. "Now I saw a new heaven." There it is, church. It's everywhere. "And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea." And when the Bible talks about new, it speaks of a new in nature. New in quality. It's not speaking of new in time or new in original. It speaks of new in nature, new in quality. That's why he renovates. He's going to make everything new. And let me tell you something. You know God, if he's the one that's going to do it, he's going to make it perfect. Hallelujah. I don't think he has a problem to renovate the new heavens and the new earth. Hallelujah. That's why they say that heaven and earth will be rejuvenated like in creation. And that's where the Bible talks about also, church. And I'm almost done. That the new heavens and the new earth, they're going to be merged. Many theologians believe, or those who study the Bible, or who study the end times, they believe, and this is what they say, that one day heaven and earth will no longer be separate realms as they are now, but will be merged together. And that's the reason why they say that believers in Christ, they will continue to be in heaven and even while they are on the new earth. Hallelujah. That's why I told you in the beginning once again, church, that the third heaven is not the final destination. It's the first destination where all believers will be. But this is the final destination, church. Where believers in Christ, we will have access to heaven and earth because it will be combined. Now you might be saying, I've never heard that. Well, read your Bible. Study it. Go in depth. Look it up. Google it. Just make sure who you're listening to. Hallelujah. They say God is going to restore this new heaven and this new earth. This is what many theologians believe. He is going to restore it just, look what he says, just like it was when? In the Garden of Eden. Where once we will rule and reign. Hear me, church. Once again, we will rule and reign and have, look what he says, perfect fellowship with God throughout all eternity. See, we might think like, well, believe me, 5 seconds in the presence of God, you don't want to come back here. And church, and when I read stuff like that, I think about it because you know what? I just hear the words, the Great Commission. Go and teach, tell everyone about the good news, Jesus Christ. He doesn't want nobody to be perished and to be lost. And I finish right here, church. Go with me to Revelation chapter 21. And I want you to follow me, verse 1 through 5. And I finish. This is exactly where all believers will dwell in eternity. The new Jerusalem. He says, now I saw. This is a New King James Version. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down. Look what he says. The New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Look what he says. Verse 4 and 5. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain. Look what he says. For the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne and said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, he says, for these words are true and faithful. Coming back soon, church. And I encourage you, church, to read a little bit, study a little bit about end times. It will change your life forever, your heart. It will change your way of thinking about the world we live in right now. Because sometimes we get too comfortable. And we think, you know what, I could do whatever I want. I can behave like I want. You know, Christ ain't coming. And you know what's sad? That people even believe that lie that, you know, he ain't coming back. But the Bible says he is coming back. Amen. Because if I believe that way, why serve Jesus? Why stay away from a lot of things and just say, you know what? I'll just be who I am. Live in the world, do what I used to do. But don't ever forget that word new. The Bible says that when we came to Christ, you became what? A new creation in Christ Jesus. And he says, the old things have passed away. Church, you are a new creation. Serve him with all your heart, church. Serve him with everything. Put your eyes on Jesus. focus on your relationship with God. Pray for your unsaved loved ones. Every opportunity you get, tell them that Jesus Christ died for them. And Christ will forgive them, and God can save them and change them and turn them around and make them a new creation and give them eternal life. Please stand this morning, church.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.